I hope you're all staying safe and healthy. So this is going to be an episode about something that's been trending lately a lot, especially with some trading stuff that I've been hearing about. This, I believe it's called NFT or something like that. It's kind of like trading, but limited edition stuff and buying and collecting, but when it comes to like digital things. And it popped into my head also the fact that being a podcaster, you have to be careful what you promote and how you promote things. Because, for example, previously I was in Anchor, so most of my earlier episodes you're actually listening here. Oh, you know, this is brought to you by Anchor, so on and so forth, such an amazing yada yada. And that was a way for me to be able to monetize as well. You know, you insert like a 10 second clip or 15 second clip or whatever it is, that I think it was like 20 or 30 seconds. And then my episode followed after that. So you have to be careful how your ads work and how things pretty much are put out to the public, because that could turn off a lot of people. So this is why I decided to speak on ads. I actually took some classes during my early years in college. And at one point I did actually speak on one of my episodes, but at one point I actually said that I wanted to deal with brand marketing and working with buyers and buying different brands to be able to sell. At the time that I was working as with the supermarket business in a big corporation, I wanted to work with those brands. So I wanted to touch base on how ads have evolved and how pretty much marketers, you know, target us, and how it's evolved from back in the day to now, how data is being collected. Now, I'm a person that has changed his mindset ever since I took those classes, and ever since I realized how things are worded and how things are brought to the public. So I stopped wearing certain things that have big brand names, pretty much. So let's jump into it. Again, this episode is going to be on how advertising works and how they are made to entice your brain and your senses to buy that product, and how they have evolved over time. So if it's not something that you would like to hear, that's, you know, this is your pretty much cue to turn off a little bit. So I did a paper on how advertisements work back in the day, and I wish I had the knowledge that I actually have at this point in my life. And how TV commercials, or any billboards you look at, and immediately people go into this tasting that meal. You automatically is like, "Ooh, I'm craving this French fries. I'm craving these like this burger." And immediately your mind goes to a fast food place. Most people actually go to a fast food place, whether it's McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, the chicken sandwich from there is awesome. I'm not going to lie. So what is the biggest and most costly ad that any company could purchase? It would have to be the Super Bowl. Yes, the Super Bowl is the most expensive spot that you can buy when you're trying to go ahead and put in any type of trailer or any type of advertisement for new, mostly is cars, movie trailers, Pepsi or Coca-Cola usually just puts their commercials there. And those are most of the big brand names that actually buy spots just put there. Lately, it's been Mountain Dew and Doritos, which is the go-to for most gamers. Mountain Dew and Doritos, you ask anybody and that's their go-to. Usually, that's what their go-to is. So yeah, Super Bowl is the most expensive. I'm not too sure on the number, so I'm not going to go ahead and say what the specific number it is, but it's way up there. Now the most used ad, as you might have guessed, is actually foods. As soon as people see ads, they start tasting all their senses, the sense of smell, the sense of hear, the sense of taste all come into play. And like I said, take, for example, a fast food place. As soon as you go ahead and mention, for example, red and yellow, what pops into your head when it comes to fast food? McDonald's. the logo itself just triggers the famous, you know, arches, French fries, pretty much. At this point in your life, you're pretty much conditioned already to think of that. French fries, burgers, ketchup, mustard, barbecue. So throughout the years, we've been already conditioned to think of that. You know, it's called a multi-sensory type of marketing. The process of dividing a target market into multiple segments in order to target each of those segments with different message or product. All right. Now let's take back to my, what I consider my younger years, you know, especially I'm 32. So if you're in like in your late 30s or, you know, there before your 40s, maybe a little bit of 40s, but let's take it back in the younger years. Do you remember when you were a kid or a teenager, you had those magazines and those magazines had a cologne or perfume strip on the side, like the little paper that you would open up the flap and it had the smell in it of either Armani, Gucci, whatever type of cologne at the time that they advertised. This actually was brought on, this was actually invented around the 1980s when Beverly Hills boutique named Giorgio's sought to introduce its own perfume strips. So these magazines would put strips in between them, which actually ignited 2.5 million in sales the first year only. Now, let's say they average around 100 million from what I read on the article. And that's a lot. That's a huge jump. And that's not even, that's just for that, for those magazines. Now, considering everything, how it has evolved, everything has changed. Let us fast forward. Things shifted around the late 90s, usually because of the World Wide Web. Pretty much. It took off like around 1994. Users went up from 16 million to 70 million when Yahoo launched in 1994, Google in 1997. And these were two of the most used platforms where they would go ahead and sort out information. So people, when you go ahead and you know, search anything, it's pretty much a library, an online library. And Yahoo and Google would take care of this. These were the two major sites. Now, during this time, Amazon and eBay launched. So Amazon launched in 1994 and eBay launched in 1995. The reason that I didn't mention them before, because they're considered e-commerce sites where you go ahead and pretty much purchase stuff. Now, as soon as these platforms were launching, marketing soared to an all-time high. It was a gold mine waiting to just be plucked. Email, for example, a bunch of junk mail before we have now separate folders where everything is sorted out from spams, from, you know, reported, flagged emails and everything. We didn't have them back then. So in 2001, boom, marketing shifted yet again. And there's going to be a lot of shifting. So I do apologize about that. LinkedIn in 2002, MySpace 2003, Facebook 2004, and Twitter in 2007. Yes. See how everything is slowly trickling down. Everybody was trying to get into the internet right away, put their feet in. You know, now these are the big companies that are like pretty much taking over everything when it comes to technology. These are the big competitors, the huge competitors. See, when it became, this is when it became easily accessible for companies to actually get data faster. So I did a little research on some of the technologies they have used to harness this data, and they're called Domo, Oracle, and Optimove. Now, there wasn't much about Domo or Oracle, to be honest, but when it comes to Optimove, it specializes in digital precision marketing using the power of predictive analytics. So in other words, its marketing cloud uses data to acquire the emotional intelligence necessary to actually connect with customers more effectively at all times. Yes, they pretty much gather all this information. The computer analyzes, the AI, I'm assuming, analyzes it and goes ahead and targets these ads better for you. For when you go ahead and if you go on Amazon and then you go on Facebook, immediately that's sorted out for you. Now we're currently in MySpace era. Yes, yes. LOL was great, but it didn't really speed up in the marketing world as much because we were still, you know, it was still very in the baby era, to be honest. MySpace is when, for example, Farmville was introduced. Do you remember that? I personally would spend hours just trying to get that and making sure all my carrots and everything. And God, I can't, it's pretty much, and they spend money too. Oh my goodness. So a lot of people were spending a lot of time home when this was introduced, when these types of games were introduced. So a lot of people going out was actually in the decline. Most people were going out to get fast food or grab anything that was pretty much quick and easy so they can go back to their usual Farmville. And they actually milked Farmville so much. They sold gift cards everywhere they could put their hands in. They targeted parents so they could buy it for their kids in every store possible. Grocery stores, GameStop, Best Buy, everywhere you can think of, it was there. Now, things shifted a little bit and ads needed to adjust. So this is when they started getting their hands into the technology area. And a lot of these companies weren't really being transparent. So this is, they sticked around a little bit on, you want to say on the low, I guess. For years, companies were using images just to go ahead and trigger senses in us during commercials. Now, there's actually a fun fact that some companies use smells in certain departments. For example, Nivea actually tested scented ads within movie theaters, which the ad actually had a recall that soared 515% higher for moviegoers. Hershey pumped scented, like a scent of milk chocolate in the vicinity of vending machines, which actually raised by around 300% in pretty much customers coming and purchasing their stuff. And to be honest, this is for the homeowners. I'm not sure if you actually knew this, but a lot of realtors use scented staging open houses to appeal to customers. So they will go ahead and research the area and what a lot of people would like. They would actually research your social media or the type of job that you have or your type of job your spouse has. And they'll go ahead and input that when they're selling you the house and when they're showing you the house. They'll spray a little orange here, a little oak scented here, or a little, you know, whatever smell you prefer. If you prefer the smell of like a soft cedar smell or something like that. Now, all these techniques are grounded compared to where we are right now. See, clothing companies use a sense of feel and sight to make sure to plaster the logos on their shirt or sweaters. Now, when I say the sense of feel and sight, it's they set it up in a certain way where it targets your eyes. So specifically, if you're looking for dressing formal, they'll put certain colors from like bright colors to low colors to the most selling colors. They'll gather all this data of like what customers buy more, and they'll set it up accordingly to that. And on those, in the sense of feel, is like depending on their quality. That's how I go. If I like the quality and it's nice and it's soft and it's like it's fitted to me and it's not too sandpaperish, because there's a lot of clothes that are very sandpaperish, I'm gonna go ahead and buy it. Because I personally feel, I don't know if it's maybe a type of marketing they've done conditioning to me, but I feel like there's certain materials that last longer than the ones that are like sandpaperish. I feel that they actually shrink faster, but I might be wrong. Now, when I say most companies actually like to plaster the logos on their shirts or sweaters, take for example, Aeropostale, Hollister, American Eagle, PacSun, and even Nike. Now, people shop Nike, they will go there until Lord knows. There's a certain amount of people that go to Nike. There's a certain amount of people that actually go to Under Armour. I prefer Under Armour over Nike, because I feel that Under Armour doesn't plaster their logo constantly on everything that they sell. Now, Nike, you always know there's a big, you know, check mark on it, and I don't like that. Now, I love their designs and everything when they partner with different designers, but I refuse to buy anything that has big letters or anything that the company wants to plaster on. Like, sell me the design, don't sell me your logo, to be honest. See, by doing that, they're making you their billboard. See, you pay for to wear their logo while they make money from the next person that sees you wearing it, and it's sort of a free advertisement. Let me repeat it for the people in the back. You are paying for a company. You are paying a company to be a walking billboard for them. And I'm not saying stop buying these products, but be aware of what products you're buying in order for you to pretty much advertise for them for free. As a podcaster or as any type of, if you ask any type of content creator, they'll go ahead and say they are very careful, or they are learning to be careful on what they advertise on their show. There was a quote that actually came about, and I like it and I don't like it at the same time. It's by George Carlin. It says, "I leave symbols to the simple-minded." Now, I don't want to go ahead and say people are simple-minded by buying these products. No, but it's be aware, because you're pretty much advertising everything. See, I'm not one to actually dismiss any artists who are legitimate. I'm not one to criticize who is legitimate or not. But I'd rather take the artist take front and center of that, for example, Nike, and not have the big Nike check mark on it. I'd rather have the artist work on it and I would advertise it than have that check mark. I cannot emphasize that. See, I would gladly accept any type of gift or possibly suggest from somebody that meets my standards and my needs. And being an anchor, learning all these different things and bettering my podcast, to be honest, I've learned so much. Personally, I'm a bit turned off by some analytics in certain platforms than I am with other platforms. And I've tried and I've talked about that, how they're sometimes they don't have the right ads, they don't have the right things that they offer for a content creator. Now, going back to brands, like I said, I would gladly wear anything that they offer. Depending on my findings, I would definitely go ahead and look at the company, look at the artist, look at what they've done, if it's a small business, because I personally am more for helping the mom and pop shops, helping the small content creators to boost them up. You know, they're starting out. That's great. That's all because some content creators, I will go ahead and say, become oversaturated, and you will find like 10, 20 of these same things. Oh, we're going to do this. We're going to sell that. We're going to sell this. It's like, I don't feel that the effort is being put out there, but I will support certain content creators, like I said. Now, going back to the little history lesson on marketing, where would we be without smartphones? And kids, this is a message for you out there if you are listening to us. We used to write our phone numbers on our walls. Well, my mom used to, and then I remember I used to afterwards. So I used a giant Bible called the Yellow Book. I think it was called the Yellow Book. The phone book, excuse me. There I go in my old age. This is where we would find phone numbers, and you had to look at newspapers to look at what movies are coming out, the times, or sometimes you would have to call the movie theaters to actually find out, and you had to listen to the whole list. Press 1 if you want to listen to this, press 2 if you want to listen to that, and then you had to make sure to nobody had to be talking, because if you missed the time, you had to start all over again. You would have to hang up, call again, and listen to the whole list all over again. So today, smartphones have overtaken personal computers as a primary, pretty much digital divide. Adults spent about 46 minutes in 2011 and 258 minutes in 2017. Now that's a big leap from 2011, 46 minutes, to 258 in 2017. That's a lot. See, phones were actually created and only meant, were only able to be in cars around the 1970s or in the 1980s. And God knows whose idea was that, because there were so many accidents. Attempts were being made to actually move into the smartphone industry around the late 90s, but it didn't work. BlackBerry was actually the first one to make the big move in 2003. And they took off, but it really wasn't for the average person. It was more for the business person, with support for email, text messaging, phone calls, and even web browsing. But back in the day when it was for its smartphones, web browsing wasn't really an option, to be honest. It was just another commodity that they just had in there, like a little decoration that you would try to go in it, but the signal wasn't great. Now, iPhones were actually released back in 2007, and that is when it blew up. See, 2007, and we're in 2021, that's not much of a difference, but it really, we are far ahead of where we were back then. See, information is everywhere now, and we are being bombarded with it constantly, and our senses are being pretty much hit left and right with Instagram, with Facebook, with TikTok, with Clubhouse, with podcastings. And it's okay, like I always say, disconnect from everything if you need to disconnect. And sometimes we don't even know when it's enough for us. So let's reel it back. Because of all these constant things that we're getting now from all different sides, transparency is a big issue. Now, how do we differentiate the truth from myth when it comes to marketing, when it comes to what we read online? There's so much information out there that has become so diluted by conspiracy theories. And back in a few years, you know, we used to actually just tell tales and joke around about extraterrestrials and all these sorts of things, you know. But now we're being very careful. And recently, there's a lot of things when it comes to Apple. Apple's been in the game for a while. And so has Samsung, but Samsung phones really weren't a big thing back then. iPhone has come a long way since 2007. But I believe their policies that they're introducing is unlike any other phone company. Like all these companies actually, and it's not the fact that I own everything pretty much Apple, and I may be biased to some, but I do like their policies. I like their policies, being able to ask the app not to track me, and pretty much puts a stop on everything. And their software pretty much lets you know what ads try to track you. And there's a whole tab on Safari that you could actually look up. It gives you a whole list of everything. See, when you go, for example, if you go into Amazon and that Amazon account is related to your Gmail account, and then the Gmail account is actually linked to your Facebook or any other type of media, or you just use Google to search, they use that data. They mine that data. They collect the data for marketers and for other things to fuel their growth. Their growth on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and any other, et cetera, social media. Even if you don't have social media, they'll use that email or that search. They'll get that search history from you, and they'll curate things. So the next time you step away from, let's say, Amazon, eBay, or any online shopping, they've already curated when you go on Google. So you'll go ahead and look at that new sunglasses or new purse. And fun fact, Disney at one point was in talks of using personalized methods to target their consumers. They were going to actually implement some sensors below. And if you had that bracelet, that Disney bracelet, that, you know, you could link it to your card and you could pay with it, or you could go into the what do you call it, the rides or whatever, they were actually going to connect that and mine the places that you were going, the things you were eating, to pretty much feed that data and personalize your experience at Disney. It seems great, but at the same time, do you have, are they giving you the ability to sign up for that or not? Or are they just doing it behind your back? Facebook and Instagram is a big marketing strategy to gather your likes, what videos you view, as well on YouTube. Their algorithm is constantly changing. Take the two big platforms right now. Like I said, Instagram and TikTok. Facebook is really on a big decline because a lot of people, everything that's been coming up in the news, Facebook's just been taking a back seat for a minute, I think. Instagram has I'm not sure if anybody knows about their algorithms. Lately, Instagram has a tendency to actually change it each month. So each month, they'll go ahead and select this and, hey, let's focus on this. So right now they introduced those reels, I believe is what it's called, and they focus all their attention on that, making it relevant. Also, I believe last month Instagram actually was curating more of their focus on newcomers. So for example, if on TikTok you're not getting as many likes as you would like to get, that's because they're actually focusing on the new people that go in there and sign up. So if they see a big hike, a big spike on newcomers, they'll focus it on them and they won't curate your videos. That's why you're not getting too many likes. That's why it's the algorithms are constantly changing. Now I did a little, now to close it off a little bit, I did a survey on Facebook. But before I get into that, this is what's pretty much everything has changed. Everything has evolved when it comes to ads and marketing and how things are targeted, how they're curated for everybody who sits at a computer, if you go to Panera and use your card, and if you're using that card somewhere at home or anywhere to make another purchase, that's curated to you as well. They'll go ahead and feed you. I go to Panera. And don't curate that into my Facebook or my Instagram. I'll see it sometimes on there. So it's kind of funny and weird. But all right, let's get into these. There's actually three people that I did a little survey on Facebook. I asked some of my friends, see if they, I asked a couple of people, but I chose these three, on how they thought that ads were being targeted to them. One person went ahead and said, I think it's because of the current times that we're in, but he was actually looking up to he does wear glasses and we wear masks right now. So the fog block, an ad for eyeglasses that help you from not fogging up your glasses while wearing a mask. So I think it's because of certain keywords, or maybe because of the post that he was making with the certain keywords or comments that he was making on other people or searches. That might have popped up for him, which is funny. And also, it's pretty much in theme since we're all wearing masks, or we should be. This one was funny, actually, the next one. I own this mask. As I said, I like Under Armour, and I wanted to give their mask a try. So a while back, I decided to purchase the Dwayne Johnson blue mask, the brand that he pretty much works with, that brand. I love his brands. And the mask is so comfortable. So one of my friends who works in the fitness industry, I believe he's a fitness instructor. And he started asking his friend, I guess he actually asked his friend via message. And all of a sudden he started looking, the ads started popping up on these masks. So I'm friends with him, and he was asking the other friend. He wasn't asking me. So I'm not sure if maybe my search curated to his search or him asking to his friend. And depending on which messaging platform he used, that might have curated that ad for him. Now, the last one It's three different ads that this person was actually, I'm sorry, four ads that this person was actually bombarded with. Three specific ads and one that still remains on his feed. First one was cake lotion. Not sure what he was looking at, but I'm assuming he was looking for lotion. Dr. Squelch soap and Eternal Match. He says that there's one that constantly pops up on him is lint roller. And I believe it's because he works, he might be, I believe he's a teacher actually. Yeah, he is a teacher. And I guess he was looking at not getting lint on his clothes or fancy clothes when he goes to teach kids. I'm not sure. That could be why. That I'm a little bit confused. I'm confused with all these four ads that popped out for him. Maybe he was looking at lotion, or but in came the soap. Well, I hope you liked my little segment. It was a little bit, a little different, but it's something that's really being talked about. Ads and how they're fed to us. What you don't, me personally, I don't want to go ahead and sound like I'm selling you something. And the way that ads are presented for podcasters, for content creators and people in the actual ad industry, when you see an ad on TV, they're two separate different platforms, two different things that I will touch base on a later episode. But we pretty much follow by different laws or different regulations, and I believe there was talks about like different things being changed around. But like I said, that'll be a next episode, most likely. Not the next one that's coming up, but soon. I hope you all stay healthy. I hope you stay safe. Don't forget, it is Women's History Month. Don't forget, Black History Month doesn't end in February, in June, July, whenever. No, that. Go ahead and boost up all these history people that we've pretty much heroes that we've never really talked about. Keep on boosting your community, keep on boosting the Black community, the Hispanic community, the LGBTQ plus, the trans community. Keep boosting yourself up. Make sure you're staying safe. Make sure you're masking up. Stay healthy, and I hope you and your family stay well. Thank you.